is wonderful to be with you all. First of all, and most importantly, we want to say thank you for everyone who prays for us and who gives of their finances. We can't do what we do without you. It takes money to live in a foreign country and tell people about Jesus without asking from them. Since they don't have the money to support us, we look to you to support us. And thank you so much for your financial support. And we also especially thank you for your prayer support. The things we do are not physical things. The things we do are spiritual things. Only God can do them. And when you pray, and when we pray, and allow, and all of us allow the Holy Spirit to work, He works through us and accomplishes His work. So we thank the Lord for what He has done, and we thank you for your part in helping us. Before you leave today, please see either Mike or me, or stop by the back table and pick up a prayer card to remind you to pray for us, because we'll be gone for a while. We'll see you again for a while, and we want you to remember to pray for us. Thank you for that. I just want to take a few minutes and share one short story about the in-state group I led in Hungary. In that group were two young men, Zoli and Jula. And these two young men are in their 30s. Each of them has a young family. They're good-looking, smart young men. But there the similarity ends. Zoli is a small business owner, and he grew up in an atheist family. He never went to church, didn't hear about Jesus or anything, but when he went to university, there were some people there, some students, who talked to him about Jesus. And the more he heard, the more he was curious, and the more they talked to him and showed him the love of Jesus, the more he wanted to know Jesus. He gave his heart to the Lord, started going to church, and oh, the joy of the Lord fills his heart, and he wanted to know more, and he kept going back to church, and then he decided, I want to know more about the Bible and more about Jesus, so he joined my institute. The other young man is Jula, and Jula is a gypsy young man. Gypsies, first thing that comes to our mind is Americans, people that move around a lot. But in Hungary, they're an ethnic minority, and they are settled in mostly in villages in Hungary. But they are a poor, discriminated against minority. But when Jula was a child, he was able to go to the Open Bible Church in Debrecen, where we're from, and there he heard stories about Jesus. And he experienced the love of Jesus through his teachers. But he didn't go very long. After a while, he stopped going to the Open Bible Church. And he became a house painter. He got married. But that inside him grew an anger and a bitterness that affects a lot of young men who grow up in minorities that are oppressed. And as that anger and bitterness grew in him, it came out in the form of anger. And because of his anger and sometimes violence, he couldn't hold his job. It started affecting his family and his home life. His life was falling apart, and he knew he had to do something about it. Nothing he tried worked until he remembered that love he experienced and the stories he heard about Jesus. So he went back to the Open Bible Church, and in just a few weeks, he and his wife surrendered their lives to the Lord. And that bitterness was replaced with a love for people, a love for God. And God was changing him, and he wanted to know more about Jesus, so he became part of my ministry group. And these two young men, this house painter, poor house painter, who was gypsy, and this middle class small business owner, they became prayer partners. So even though they were very different, they started praying for each other every week. And as they prayed and were concerned for each other, and they shared what they'd learned in the scriptures, and they became brothers in Christ. And it was awesome to see the love grow, and we as a group became the body of Christ together. I can't explain it. It was awesome. But you can experience that too. Here in the church, you can be the body of Christ, loving each other, caring for each other, and sharing with each other, even though we're different. And you can also take InStay. InStay is here in the United States, so ask us about that if you might be interested. So don't forget to ask me for a prayer card, Mike.
Jóra Gyalkivánok mindenkinek. Now that's Hungarian for good morning, everybody. And but now, we've been 10 years in Hungary. Now we have to learn a new language. We're going to Romania. So Romanian would be Bună dimineața. How many know Spanish? Anybody speak Spanish? Okay, so it's very close. Romanian is a lot closer to Spanish and Italian and Hungarian. Hungarian is no other language like it. It's totally different. So we're beginning a new process, a new change. But you should be seeing some pictures up here shortly that they'll be showing you about our ministry in Hungary and what's going to be taking place in Romania. That first picture here, we arrived in Budapest in January of 2018. And that look on our faces as I look at that picture, that's at the airport. We're just coming off the plane. Pastor Misha Gulyash was greeting us there. And that look on our faces, I don't know if it's jet lag or fear, but it's just an apprehension of going to a new ministry and to a new place. We pastored in the United States for 30 years, and now we're entering a new ministry that we don't know anything about what we're really doing. Now imagine... And imagine going to a country, going to a different culture, going to a place where you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, you don't know how people operate. How do you set up, get utilities? How do you find a place to live? Buying a car. Even just going to the grocery store, reading the labels on the food in the grocery stores. We couldn't do that because we didn't know the language. And so it was all difficult. In fact, one time Nancy needed to buy some butter. She went into the store and she'd forgotten. We'd learned the word for butter, but she forgot what it was. And she was looking around in the dairy section and she was trying to find packages that looked similar to what butter was like here. And she wasn't finding anything like, the boxes with the sticks of butter. They don't have that there. So she saw something that she thought looked very similar to what butter was like here, and she bought it. Took it home, opened it up, and it was cream cheese. Didn't quite work the same way. So, just imagine going into situations like that where you have no clue what's going on. And like I said, buying a car. Fortunately, Pastor Misha Gulyash and the Open Bible Church in Debrecen took us by the hand. They helped us get settled in. They helped us find an apartment. They helped us buy a car, which is really beneficial because when car dealers there, and I'm sure this is throughout most of Europe, when they see somebody coming, a foreigner coming, the prices of cars goes up. So Pastor Gulyash was able to help us buy a car, helped us get a phone, all the papers we needed to be able to work in Hungary legally. They helped us through all of that process and so forth. And so it was just really a godsend. Without them, without their help, it would have been a real struggle. And as we were going through that, I couldn't help but think back here in the United States of all the people coming from different countries, the immigrants coming from different countries, trying to get settled here, trying to find apartments and hooking up utilities and buying a car and going through the process of getting their papers, legal papers in order to be able to live here. And all of that process, and they're not, especially if they don't know the language. And I thought, what an opportunity for the church to do what the Open Bible Church in Debrecen did for us. It's an opportunity to show the love of Christ and to be able to minister to the people that are coming from this country. You know, we often think of missionaries as being going to another country and to minister in different countries. Well, you know, God's bringing the mission field here to the United States in a lot of ways. And it's an opportunity for the church to be able to minister to foreigners here in the United States. And I think I'm going to have to change this number. Okay.
Number
3. And I thought, what an opportunity for the church here in the United States to be able to minister to people that God is bringing here and to show the love of Christ. And I think a lot of times the church as a whole, I think we're missing those opportunities because we're not seeing it. But that's a side thing. But as we got into Hungary, we finally got settled, and one of the first things that we needed to do was to learn the language. If we wanted to be able to communicate with pastors and talk to them about what NSTAY is and to work with them and to help them get groups started, we needed to be able to communicate effectively, so we had to learn the language. And so we, at the university in Debrecen, we took courses to learn Hungarian. And Hungarian is one of the hardest languages for an English speaker to learn. It's very, very difficult, and they know that. The Hungarians know that. And they are proud of that, the fact that it's difficult. And in fact, Pastor Gulyas has often said jokingly that Hungarian is the language we're going to speak in heaven because it takes an eternity to learn it. But we took our classes. We got out and we started practicing and speaking it in public. And the people were very appreciative, the fact that we even tried. They were very patient and very helpful with us, but you know, we made mistakes, and we knew that right away. We knew we were going to make mistakes, but you just got to do it anyway. You got to try. One, a couple of examples here. One time, whenever we have to travel on the major highway, we would call interstates here, you have to buy a ticket. It's basically like a tollway, and you can get the tickets at any gas station in town. So we needed to go to Budapest, which is a 2.5-hour drive on the road, on the interstate. And so we stopped at the gas station before we left Debrecen. Nancy went in to buy the ticket. And the word for ticket, a Hungarian word, is matrica. She went in to the clerk and said, "Ain't said it, make me need matrica." That's what she wanted to say. Instead of using the word for ticket, she said, "Machka," which is cat. "I would like to buy a cat at the gas station." And of course, the clerk kind of looked at her funny, and Nancy realized what she said, and they laughed at it. But and I had to, later on, I had to go in and buy a watch band for my watch. Went into the jewelry store. The clerk put out several watch bands on the counter, and I was looking at them, and I wanted to make sure I got a nice leather watch band. And I, instead of saying the word for leather, I misspoke and used a word that is almost identical to it. It's just the way you pronounce it. Instead of saying, "Is this real leather?" I asked, "Is this real wine?" And again, he looked at me kind of strange, but I caught myself and corrected myself. But we realized too shortly on that part of our purpose in being in Hungary is to bring joy and laughter to the Hungarian people. And many times we go into restaurants and stores and we try to order something in Hungarian, and they look at us strange, and they'd smile and shake their head and said, "That's nice, you tried." But we're able to communicate, and got to the point where we could understand most of what they said and speak to them well enough. But of course, our main purpose for being in Hungary was to establish NSTAY. And I think how many of you here have taken an NSTAY course? Good portion of you. For those of you that are not familiar with NSTAY, NSTAY is a discipleship and leadership training program in the church, in the local church. Instead of having to go to a Bible college in a distant place, the school comes to you, and it's excellent program for helping especially believers, not just new believers, but all believers, to understand what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But it's also good for raising up leaders in the church. And we encourage everybody, no matter how old, to go through at least first level NSTAY. When we were pastoring in Austin, Minnesota, we had a lady that was in her 80s that took first level instinct. She'd been a Christian almost all of her life, was a strong prayer warrior. She went through first level instinct and she just loved it. And she used the books afterwards as references and stuff, and she just was encouraged and strengthened by instinct. So we encourage all Christians to go through at least first level. But our main purpose was to establish InState in Hungary. We set up the office, set up the database. We didn't send the books out to a professional printer right away to have them printed. We did it in the office, and you saw a picture of me doing that. We had a little copy machine, a printer, in the office where when I'd get the groups would give me a number of students that they wanted for their groups, that I would print off enough books for each of those students and bind them and then send them to the students. And so that was part of our daily responsibility of printing the books and so forth. We also trained the group leaders. There's only Nancy led one group and I led another group early on. But other than that, basically, we trained the group leaders in the churches to lead InState groups and working with the pastors, working with the churches. And we are able to establish InState groups almost within the first year. And even not just in Hungary, in the country itself, we had groups outside of Hungary, Hungarian InState groups. We had one Hungarian InState group in Ukraine just across the border that graduated four students from first level InState. We even had a Hungarian church in Holland, in Rotterdam, Holland, that was using InState at one time. And we got a chance to visit them, and that was an exciting trip. But so we weren't limited to just the country itself. Wherever the Hungarians were, wanted to use InState, that's where our ministry was. We also, when we arrived there, first level books, the four first level books had already been translated into Hungarian. But we wanted to work to get the level two books translated. And so we were able to put together an excellent team of translators. And of the 24 level two books, 19 of them now are totally finished and completed. And we have a couple of them still in progress, which means we have two or three of them that still need to be finished. And we're going to continue to work with the translators until that is all done. So we're excited about that. We do have one level two group that is studying. I think they're in the third semester right now. And it's one of our gypsy churches that is using or studying InState and into the second level of it. We also became incorporated with the Hungarian government. Instead of when we first arrived there, we were operating under the umbrella of Open Bible in Hungary. And because we worked with other denominations, we worked with the Salvation Army and independent Pentecostal churches and Church of God and so forth, and we didn't want to be recognized or identified as just an Open Bible ministry. And so we felt we needed to become incorporated with the government, and that way we'd also be an official government official program recognized by the government as a training program. So Nancy worked with a lawyer in Hungary, helped us get through the papers that we needed to process, and InState in Hungary is now an officially recognized leader or Bible training association in Hungary, and we praise God for that. Also, as a result of that, we established an InState board. We've got 10 members on that board, several pastors, so a couple of our translators are on there, and they are overseeing the InState program now. And we also were able to identify a young man who is a level one graduate. He's involved in one of the churches in town as a youth pastor, and he felt God was calling him to be the director of InState. And so this last spring, we appointed him as the new InState director in Hungary. Vince Varga is his name. There was a picture up of him earlier with his wife and Tammy Swales. And he's going to be working under Tammy, working under InState Global in directing InState in Hungary. And I believe he's going to do an excellent job. I'm excited about what God is going to be doing in InState in the future, because he has contacts with other pastors that I didn't have. And he has some innovative ideas already that I think is going to help in InState growing in Hungary. And so this last spring, we turned everything over to the Hungarians, to the InState board, to Vince Varga, the new director. And we were getting ready to leave Hungary. And Vince McCarty, the Global Missions Director for Open Bible Churches, had asked us if we'd be willing to stay on a couple more years and work with the Open Bible Church in Gherla, Romania. And you're seeing some pictures now of Romania, the Transylvania Mountains, and yes, Transylvania is a real place. It's beautiful mountains in Romania. And while we were in Hungary, in the years that we were there, we had been working with the Open Bible Church in Romania. They had gone through a difficult period of time. They'd lost their pastor. There were some difficulties in the church, and we had gone down two or three times throughout the each year, throughout the years, and ministered there to encourage the people, to help them, to work with Open Bible Churches, Open Bible Missions, to help them find a new pastor. And so we had built a relationship with them. We have now found a pastor for the church, Simi Hosu. You'll see his picture coming up shortly here. Simi and Gabi are worship leaders in the church, and he has also taken some pastoral training programs, finished a pastoral training school. And so this September, this last September, Vince McCarty went over there and appointed him as the pastor, officially as the pastor of the Open Bible Church there. We are then going, in January, going to be working with him, going back to Romania to work with Simi and Gabi to kind of mentor them and to help them in get the church back on its feet again, to get it grounded, to help get in-state groups started, and to be able to build up leaders in the churches there. We really feel that Simi is going to be the man that God has called. He's going to do an excellent job. And we just really pray that God will help us to be able to mentor him, to help him get the church to the next level. A couple of things about Romania. If you're familiar with the history of Romania, they had been under communism, much like Hungary and other Eastern European countries, had been under communism for several years. And they're especially... Romania had been under a very, should I say, wicked dictator, Ceausescu, had oppressed the people, and they were under bondage, and you could still feel that spiritual darkness over the country. You could feel the oppression. We could tell as we're crossing the border from Hungary into Romania, you could sense the oppression when we'd leave and go back into Hungary. Is almost like a weight lifted off of our shoulders. You sense that darkness is gone. And it's still there. There's a lot of poverty, even though they're making progress economically. There's still a lot of spiritual darkness. There's still a lot of poverty. There's still a lot of oppression, a lot of depression among the people. And so we're praying that God will lift that, and that we'll see the Spirit of God move, and we'll see freedom and liberty, spiritual liberty. There's also... The city of Gherla itself, I didn't realize this until the last time we were there, is that the name Gherla means in Romanian bondage. It means chains. And there is a prison in Gherla, a large prison there. And Pastor Simi does have a ministry in that prison. But it's been there for many, many years. In fact, if you've ever read the book Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand, we've got a copy of it on the back table there that you can kind of look through there. Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor in Romania. He was put in prison under the Nazis for his faith, because of his faith. He was released after the Nazis were defeated, but then put back into prison under communists while they were in control of Romania. And it tells a story of what God had done while he was in prison. But that prison, one of the prisons he talks about, is that very prison in Gherla, Romania, where we are going to be ministering. And so Pastor Simi has asked us, as we visit the churches, to have the people pray that the chains would be broken over the city, the spiritual bondage over the city would be broken, and that the darkness would be lifted. And we're already seeing some good things happening in there. Pastor Simi is already involved in evangelism, and they're doing some things to reach out into the community and to build a unity among the body of Christ. And so we're seeing some good things happening. We pray that the Spirit of God would just bring total release and total victory over Gerla and over the whole country. And so that is what our responsibility is going to be when we get into Romania. It's going to be a totally different ministry than what we had in Hungary, but it's exciting what we believe that God is going to be doing in there. I do want to say a couple of things about Hungary. As a result of the 10 years that we were there, we have seen 15 churches that had used InStay while we were there. 80 students had graduated from level 1 InStay. And that's exciting to see the number of students that have finished it. But of those 80 students, we had 3 churches that were planted by our InStay students, level 1 graduates. One of them, one example of that is a man by the name of Ferenc Balog, and we had a picture of him, Ferenc, and his wife Anna. They live in the village of Ebrine, and they had both been Jehovah's Witnesses at one time. But then they heard the gospel, gave their life to Jesus Christ, had started a prayer group in their home. They had heard about InStay and had contacted Pastor Gulyash from Debrecen about studying InStay. He would travel the 40 kilometers from Debrecen to Ebrine and lead the InStay group. And Ferenc and Anna Balog and several people in their village, friends and relatives, had gathered together to study InStay. And in the 2 years, when they finished the 2 years of level one InStay, by the time they had gotten done, they had started a prayer group in their home and then also had planted a church in their home where Pastor Ferenc was the pastor of the church. And some of the other InStay students were leaders in the church, the worship leaders and so on. And that church has grown. They're still using InStay. They're still discipling people in their churches. They're raising up leaders. And other people in that InStay group had gone into other villages and shared the gospel and evangelized. And we had 2 other churches, one in Kemetje and one in Gavaventulu, that had been planted from our InStay students there. They're still growing. They're studying InStay. They're raising up leaders. They're discipling their believers in their churches. And now they're also reaching out into other communities. And so we're seeing it expanded just from that one InStay group that we've had 3 churches planted and others are on the way. In fact, this last September, the Open Bible Church in Hungary had celebrated the 30th anniversary, and now they have expressed their vision is to see in the near future 6 more churches planted. I know for a fact that InStay is going to be a part in training and discipling and raising up leaders in those churches. And so we're, again, excited about what God has done in Hungary. And we ask you to continue to pray for Vince Varga, the new director of Hungary, and for the InStay board in Hungary, that God will continue to grow and raise it to the next level. But then also pray for the new work in the church in Romania, Open Bible Church in Romania, and Simeon Gabi Hosu, the new pastors there, as we go back there in January, that we'll see breakthrough in the church, in the city, and in the country, and that we'll see God do some mighty things and in evangelism, but also in church planting with Open Bible there. And so just continue to pray for us. As Nancy said too, we also have some prayer cards that we'd like to have you receive, and so that you, to remind you to pray for us. Before I turn it back over to Pastor Phil, I want to share something from the Word of God on this. We've had people have asked us, you know, we had pastored for 30 years, as I mentioned, here in the United States, and you can go ahead and stop the slides now, but we had pastored here for 30 years in the United States, and we were in our 50s when God called us to be missionaries, to leave our church, to leave our family, and to go overseas to be missionaries. And we've had people say, you know, man, you're leaving your family, and our kids were grown and getting married. They were starting to have kids. We're starting to have grandkids come. And you're leaving all of that and everything that you're familiar with, everything you're comfortable with, to go to another country to try and learn another language, to go to a place that you're not familiar with and you don't know. Why would you be willing to do that? And as I thought about that, this first passage came to my mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is where Paul talks about all the things that he went through for the gospel, and the persecution and the stonings and the beatings and the storms and the shipwrecks and all the things that he faced and the struggles that he went through. And then he gets down to verses 16 through 18. And he says, encourages the people. He says, so we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What Paul is basically saying is what happens to us here on this earth doesn't really matter. What's important is eternity. What's important is the kingdom of God. And I want to illustrate that for you. I wish I could take credit for this illustration, but I didn't. I saw it, what Pastor used this on YouTube one time. This rope represents eternity. And it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. It doesn't end. Represents the kingdom of God, represents the presence of God, represents all the things that about God, the eternal things, the things unseen that Paul was talking about. This little part right here, this red part, represents our life here on earth. Now, you look at this compared to this, and on and on and on. And Paul is saying, what happens in our lives here is just temporary. It's transient. And it doesn't really matter. We may face some persecution. We may face some struggles. We may face some difficulties. But it's not going to last forever. It's just transient. And so what happens to us here is not important. What's important is what happens here. What's important is the kingdom of God. What's important is the presence of God. What's important is eternity. And Paul says, I'm willing to give up anything here, everything here. I'm willing to suffer whatever I need to suffer here. I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done here so that I can experience this. And it's not just the bad things. Paul also writes in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and he's talking about his background, his credentials, if you please. And starting in verse 3 of Philippians 3, he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. And though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He's basically saying, when I look at my life here, it was pretty good. Good family, good stock, good education. I had everything going for me, and Paul was possibly, he was a rising star among the Pharisees. It's possible down the road he could have been a leader among the Pharisees. He had everything going for him here. But he says, I'm willing to give all of that up here so that I might what? Gain this. So that I might know Jesus. When we look at the church today, where is the focus most of our church today? Listen to our teachings. Listen to our songs, our worship. Listen to our prayers. Listen to the things that are happening in the church. Where do we see most of the focus of our churches today? Is it on eternal things? It's usually here. How can I receive God's blessings? How can I experience healing? How can I get what I want from God here? How can I get God to make my life better here, right now? And we hear very little about sacrifice. We hear very little about denying self. We hear very little about giving up here so that we might obtain this. Because most of our effort is here. Now, does that mean we don't pray for healing or that we don't pray for God to bless us and minister to our needs? No, we need to do that. Because God promised He will provide all of our needs. And God promised He will take care of us. But that shouldn't be our focus. That shouldn't be what we look for and what we desire more than anything else. Our focus should be where? Here. On this. In fact, what did Jesus teach us? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be." So what's the treasure? Treasure is something that you value. Treasure is something that is more important to you than anything else. It is something that you value more than anything else. And Jesus is saying when you value something, when that becomes your treasure, that's where your heart is going to be. That's where your desire is going to be. That's where your focus is going to be. That's what you're going to want more than anything else. And when your treasure is here, then what's our desire? Where's our heart? Our heart is, I want my healing. Our heart is, I want my blessing. Our heart is, I want my prosperity. That's where our focus is. That's where our prayers are. That's where our desire is. And that's what we want. I want. Our heart is, I want my life now to be better. I don't want to face suffering. I don't want to face persecution. I don't want to deal without. Because I'm focused here. But if our heart, our treasure is here, in the kingdom of God, then where's our heart? It's going to be here. And our desire is, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want more than anything else. And that's what our desire is. That's what our heart is. That's what we focus on. That's what we want more than anything else. And so in order to receive this, we're willing to give up anything here. Because this doesn't matter. This is only temporary. In fact, you know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that was a fantastic miracle. But you know what happened? Lazarus died again. It didn't last forever. That was only temporary. Anything we receive in this earth right now is just temporary, except our salvation. And so any healings we receive from God is just temporary. Any blessings we receive from God is just temporary. Anything we receive in this life right now is just temporary. But what we focus on, when we focus on this, it's eternal. And it lasts forever. So the treasure is the thing that we value the most. And that's where our heart and our desire will be. And that's what we're going to focus on. So when we focus on the things on the earth, our heart is set on our security, our pleasures, our comfort, blessings, prosperity. We look to God to make our life here better, and we're not willing to make sacrifices because we don't want to leave our comfort zone. And we don't want to leave the things that make us feel secure. And we're not willing to give up, and we're not willing to deny ourselves because this is where our focus is. But when our focus is on heavenly things, our desire is for God's kingdom to grow, for Him to be glorified. Is that Paul says that we may know Christ more, be willing to suffer for Him, willing to know to die for Him. And then what we'll do, you know, as you go on in Matthew chapter 6, what did Jesus say? He talked about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And He says, look at how they didn't worry about what they needed because God took care of them. In Matthew 6:33, what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what will happen? All these things will be taken care of. God says, if you put this first, I'll take care of this. So don't worry about this. Don't make this your treasure. Don't make this the place where you put your heart and your desire and your focus. I'll take care of this if you put this first. As long as this is first, as long as your treasure is here, as long as your heart is here, as long as your desire is here, I'll take care of this. And we can trust him for that. So, if our desire is here, if our treasure is here, we realize this is eternal. This will last forever. The kingdom of God will last forever. The things of the kingdom of God, the presence of God, all of that will last forever. Then we're willing to make whatever sacrifice we need to make here in order to experience this. Because the things here are just temporary. They're just temporary. If you face suffering, if you face persecution, it's not going to last forever. But what happens here is what's important. And I believe this is God's word for us today, for the church today as a whole, is he's looking for people that are going to focus on his kingdom. He's looking for people that are going to value his kingdom, where this is your treasure, where this is your heart, and this is your desire more than anything else, and that people that are willing to do whatever it takes to advance his kingdom and are willing to give up whatever needs to be given up here, to leave your comfort, to leave your security, to leave your home, to leave your family if necessary, to do whatever needs to be done here so that you will advance this. See his kingdom come and his will be done. Knowing that God will take care of our needs and God will provide, because this is what's most important. And there may be somebody here today, and I was thinking especially among the youth, God may be calling you to leave your family, to leave your homes, to leave your comfort zone. God may be saying, I want you to become a missionary. I want you to go overseas and minister in a different country. Learn a different language. Learn a different culture. And minister the kingdom of God to those people. It wouldn't have to be just teenagers. There may be somebody, like I said, we were in our 50s when God called us to be missionaries. There's no age limit to what God can do. Remember how old Moses was? He was 80 years old when he led Israel out of Egypt. Maybe not going overseas to be a missionary, but maybe God's calling you to do like I mentioned earlier, to reach across the street to someone from a different culture, to someone of a different country who speaks a different language, and to step out of your comfort zone and to share the kingdom of God with them. Or maybe somebody's calling you to be involved in an in-state group or to lead an in-state group, and you may be saying, I don't know if I can do that. I'm afraid. Or it's too difficult. Or I don't have the time. I don't have the money. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of it. But we've got to be willing to say yes. Say, God, this may be a little scary. It may be a little frightening. It may be different. But if this is what you're calling me to do, I'm willing to do that. Trusting you to take care of all of my needs here, because my desire more than anything else is to see your kingdom come and your will be done in my life, in my family, here on earth as it is in heaven. Because this is my treasure, and this is my heart, and this is my desire. And I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to leave the security, my security, family, whatever needs to be done. I'm willing to make whatever sacrifices I need to make here so that I may experience this. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastors and the leaders, the vision that they have to reach beyond the four walls of this building into the community, into the surrounding areas, and even to different cultures. The mission field.
Lord, I just pray that you continue to speak to their hearts. And Father, above everything else, that the kingdom of God become their treasure. More than anything else, their treasure is for your kingdom. And that's where their heart becomes. And that's where their focus is. And Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, they're willing to make whatever sacrifice needs to be made. Willing to step out of their comfort zones. Willing to step out of their secure places. Things that they're familiar with. To do what you're calling them to do. For your name's sake. For your kingdom. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Nancy.